You all get your Bibles out this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5. And Brother Cleo is going to come up here and do our reading for us. And I want to encourage you to follow along. And we're going to have a good time in the Lord. And we do, in front of you, if you don't have your Bible with you today, in front of you, we do have some Bibles in the seats there that you are more than welcome to use. 1 Peter chapter 5.
Good morning, family.
I don't know about you, but I'm a sore, tired unit today. Thank you, Siegbert family. First Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, that taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And so let's go to the Word of God. We're going to start off in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into 1 Peter chapter 5. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer so much, Lord. We thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the church that you have given us to go to. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, your preserved Word that we can go to and the final authority, and Lord, to teach us and show us, Lord, how we should raise our families, how we should live our life, and Father, in every area of our lives, Lord, you reveal to us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and Lord, I just thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would help me today, Lord, to bring the message that you have for your people this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for those who have come today. And Lord, we do ask that you would be with those that are not with us today due to illness. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would work in a mighty way, and Lord, you'd heal them. Lord, give doctors wisdom. And Father, we do want to just pray that you would just work in their lives in a mighty way. Now, Father, bless our time together. In your name we pray. Amen. I wanted to kind of take us a little bit here through 1 Peter chapter 5, and as an encouragement and as a warning, because as a church we need to grow. As a church, we need to we need to expand. As a church, we need to be bringing up the next generation. Of those who will be sitting here and making the decisions, so I want to encourage you today as we go through some things here, and we're going to start off in verse number 1, and we're going to kind of focus a little bit on verse number 8. But I wanted to kind of show you some things here to kind of help us out and get some things across to you of what we need in order to be bringing up the next generation of young people, the next generation of children in our church, and what it's going to take to get them to where they need to be. I was talking to my brother yesterday after all of the work was done at my mom's house, and we were talking to some of our nieces and nephews that were left there, and we were talking about how things have changed over the years. And I shared a little bit with the young people today. When I was growing up as a kid and in Bible college, and you'd set out and go door knocking and knocking on people's doors and inviting them to come to church and inviting them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you could knock on just about any door. And you could pretty much start with the Lord Jesus Christ and start right into the gospel of talking about how they can know for sure that heaven would be their home. And you could talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a common knowledge, no matter what denomination they were, no matter what religion they were, there was a common knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. Now they may not have always had it straight, obviously, and through some biblical illustration and going, taking them to the Word of God, you could pretty much give them the gospel and see some folks accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior right there on at their home and in their and at the door. But today things have changed. Things are very different, and it's not as easy to do that. Now, does that mean we need to stop doing that? No, that means we need to continue doing that. But what I'm talking about is today we have a generation and a half of people that have passed through who know not the gospel. And not only what's really sad is they don't know, but they're also ignorant. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But they're ignorant of the Bible. They're ignorant of the fundamentals that many of us here sitting here today grew up with or had a common knowledge of. You know, today when you go out and you knock on doors, you know, you can't start out by saying, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You know, a lot of times you got to go back a little bit further. And you've got to explain where Jesus Christ came from and why it's important to only trust in Him as Savior. And what I'm getting at, folks, is there's not any more, as there used to be, a common knowledge amongst people about godly things, about the gospel, about morals, and things like that. We are living in a completely different world. And you say, well, how did we get there? You know, we live in America, you know, a nation founded on the Word of God and a nation, a Christian nation. Well, unfortunately, folks, today we have to use that word Christian nation very loosely. Now, are we a Christian nation? Yes, we are. But we have to use that word kind of loosely because a lot of people, their definition of Christian is completely different than what we're talking about. I'm sharing this with the young people. When I say and when I mention Christian, what I'm talking about is someone who has followed the Lord in salvation, who's repented of their sin, who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they know for sure that if they were to die, they were on their way to heaven. But today, you'll go out there, and about everybody identifies as a Christian. And they're as lost can be. If they were to die screaming, I'm a Christian, they'd spend eternity in hell forever because they know not the truth. You say, well, how did we get there? How did things get that far here in America, a Christian nation, a country that was founded on the Word of God? How did we get as far as we are today? Well, it's very simple. People, Christians, born-again people, stop preaching, stop teaching, and stop raising up the next generation in the Word of God and with the responsibility of going out and preaching and teaching the gospel. You say, well, what do we do about it? Well, we start where we are because, unfortunately, we cannot go back and change what happened yesterday. But you know what we can do? We can do a whole lot about the future. we can do a whole lot about things to come. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, it's speaking to believers in the Bible day, and the Apostle Peter, he sent this letter to the churches and to the Christians that were in Rome and in the area of what we would call today the country of Turkey. And he was sending that, and this letter that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter, was to be distributed amongst the churches there and to be read and taught. And I want us to kind of look at some things here today, and we can learn a lot from this chapter. It starts out in verse number 1, it says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." You know, Peter, he started out by calling on those in leadership, those who were saved and born again, those were who were leaders in the church. And this morning, I want to start out by calling upon and calling to those of us here at Faith Independent Baptist Church that are elders and leaders and have the knowledge of the truth and have the knowledge of the Word of God. It's our responsibility. It's our job to do things. And what Peter says here, the elders which are among you, he says, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Jesus, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And so what he does is he called attention to the leaders. He called attention to those who were saved and born again. He called attention to those who knew better. And what he said, I exhort you. And what he was saying there is, I'm commanding you, or I'm encouraging you very strongly to make some changes, to do some things different. And church, I'm doing the same thing here this morning. And verse number 2 starts out by saying, what he started out by telling him, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Faith Independent Baptist Church, I want to encourage you, the elders of our church, those who know the gospel, those who have been saved, those who've been baptized, those who have known the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time. I exhort you. I'm pleading with you. Feed the flock of God. We can no longer afford to sit back and relax. You know, I don't have to tell you, and we mention it often, the Lord Jesus Christ's return is imminent. It could be today. It could be before we finish this hour. And what we need to do, Christians, is we need to be busy about feeding the flock of God. What's it going to take to feed the flock of God? It's going to take some of us getting up out of our comfort zone and being Sunday school teachers. You know, I was thrilled this morning as I went downstairs. And as I turned on the lights downstairs, every Sunday school classroom downstairs, every room downstairs with the exception of the fellowship hall, I was able to turn on the lights. And you know what's sitting inside each one of them? A table and a chair, a place for our children to go and learn and be taught the Word of God. They're no longer storage closets. You say, well, you know, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm getting ready. Because we're fixing to get a bus route started and bring some kids in. So we have the Sunday school rooms. We have the van. You know what we need now? We need some elders. We need some men and some women that would be willing to say, hey, I will forego Brother Jason's Sunday school class, and I know he's a good teacher, in order to be able to go downstairs and to teach some children, in order to share with the children that will be coming in the children that we already have, the Word of God. And so he exhorts, and he says here, that the first thing he tells them, he said, I exhort you, feed the flock of God, which is among you. And then he goes on by saying, taking oversight thereof. You know what he's saying? Be a leader. Be a leader. Take the oversight of. Look over them. Take care of them. Make sure that they are there in the future to carry on the gospel. Take the oversight of them. And then he says, not by constraint. You know what that means? I looked up that word there, constraint. It means irresistible force. Or it's an effort of power, of physical, or moral. Basically, what that's talking about is, the Bible says here, not by constraint. Not because you're obligated to. Which, praise the Lord, thank God for the person who told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not to do it because we're obligated to. We're to do it because of love. But then it goes on to say, don't do it by constraint, but willingly. Willingly, openly, and ready, and with the right heart. It says not for filthy lucre. Not for money. Of course, if you volunteer to be a Sunday school teacher, I will be honest and upfront with you. It will cost you. We're not going to pay you. But the Bible says it's not a filthy lucre. It's not about money, or it's not about recognition or reward. He said not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Being ready, being willing to step out, being willing to help the next generation. Verse number 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. You know, that's some interesting scripture there. Neither being lords over God's heritage. You know what the tendency for someone in leadership to do? Is to lord over, to force and to push and to overwhelm. The Bible says, "Don't be that, but be in samples to the flock." You know what we're supposed to do? Yeah, the Bible says we're supposed to be in samples. Have the example within ourselves for them to follow. You know, folks. I really believe with all my heart, the young people, the children will follow. The children will come along if we are leading them. It's just like I've encouraged the men here in our church. Be a leader in your home. Stand up. Take the position that God has given you. Be a leader in your home. And you know what will happen? Your wife and children will follow. The reason most wife and children don't follow is because we don't have many men leaders. And so I want to encourage you. And again, as the Bible says, I'm not talking about being a lord over them, but by ensample, by example, helping them, showing them with your life how to follow God. And again, I know I've used this example so many times, but I thank God for my dad. He not only said with his mouth, he lived it with his life. Gave me something to look at and to follow. And then verse number 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know when your reward's going to come? When Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back. You know, I understand sometimes it's really discouraging. I remember years ago, growing up as a kid, and even myself, when I began to do a bus route. You know, there were some Sunday mornings it was really difficult. Especially Sunday afternoon when family were doing other things Or somebody would come visit, or I would think, you know, hey, I would love to be that one that goes to the restaurant on Sunday afternoon and not just get back in about enough time off my bus to go scarf something down and then to be back on church on Sunday night. You know, it was hard. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know when the reward comes? The reward comes when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we will. I like the way the Bible says here, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, I could go around and pat each one of the workers in our church on the back, but you know what? That's soon going to be forgotten. But praise the Lord, a crown of glory is going to last forever. And then verse number 5, it says, likewise. All right, first he addressed the elders, those that were that should be leaders, those that should be doing things. And then he said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elders. You know, an elder that teaches really doesn't do any good if we don't have some youngers that are listening and submitting themselves and paying attention to what's being said. You know, we've heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. You know, I do thank the Lord for how I was raised. But sadly, there were some things that I didn't listen to early on it that my father had to say. And I suffered the consequences for it. It wasn't because he didn't teach it. It wasn't because I didn't know. It's because I didn't submit myself. So as the elders begin to teach the younger, or those who have more Bible knowledge than maybe some others, what we need to do is we need to we need to submit one to another. You know, Brother Jason, he's a good teacher. But you know what? If the students don't pay attention and submit themselves to what's being taught from the Word of God, it really doesn't do any good. You know, as we stand up here and we preach and we present the Word of God to you, and as I'm talking to you this morning and encouraging you and exhorting you to stand up and take leadership, you know, if you don't pay attention to that, if you won't submit to that, it really isn't going to help. And so I want to encourage you. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you being subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Now, it takes us to the next step. First of all, it says, the younger, submit yourself to the elder. But you know how the relationship's supposed to go? It goes on, it says, yea, all of you be subjected one to another and be clothed with humility. You know how a good relationship works? A good relationship works when we're submitting one to another. You know how a good marriage works and lasts? When the wife is submitting to the husband, the husband's submitting to the wife. And they're working together as a partner, as partners together. God never intended man to walk around the house beating his chest and telling his wife, walk 20 paces behind me. That was never God's ideal. That was never God's intent. As I've shared with you many times, it is the responsibility of a wife to submit to her husband. But it's the husband's responsibility to raise that submitted wife to his side where God intended her to be. And you see what that is that's a partnership. You see, and what it's showing us here in verse number 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. But then it goes on to say, ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. You know, that one of the worst things, you know, raising kids, and y'all understand this, is when you go to explain something to a young person, and before you get a sentence out of your mouth or three words, I know. No, you don't have to talk any further. I know. When they really don't have a clue. And where you really see that and where it really shows up is when they go to do the assignment that you were trying to explain to them how to do it and how to get it done right. And they say, well, I know. And they don't pay any mind to you. And so the Bible tells us we're not only be subjected one to another, but we are all to be clothed with humility. You know what that means? When somebody comes to us to give us instruction or to help us out, because maybe they see something in your life that you need a little help along the way, and we all do. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be clothed with humility and take it as it was intended, but sometimes we wear our feelings right up here. And we're walking around saying, I dare you, knock it off. Go ahead. I dare you, knock it off. But the Bible tells us we need to be clothed. And I like the way the Bible says that, clothed from top to bottom, all covered up. Clothed with humility. For, and this is the reason why, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You want to get on the wrong side of God? Be stubborn. Wear your shoulders. Wear your feelings on your shoulders. Don't be clothed with humility. And the Bible says God resisteth the proud. You know, there isn't one of us in here that couldn't stand some instruction from time to time. But the Bible says, and giveth grace unto the humble. Verse number 6, it tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. You see, he goes on a little bit further in verse number 6 and lets us know about humbling. And humbling ourselves, as the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God. You know, when we submit to God, it's not hard to submit to the authority that God places over us. It's not hard for us to do the things that we need to do. And first of all, and to help us to be clothed with humility, what we've got to do is we've got to first submit ourselves to God. We've got to be humble before Him. We've got to be willing to go and do and say whatever it is He tells us to say. In verse number 7, he says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, humility is not any one of us, it's not our strong points. Nobody likes to be humble. Nobody likes to be humbled. Nobody, one of the biggest things that starts arguments in marriage? Is when the other one tells, when the wife or the husband tells the other one, you're wrong. It's like, no, I'm not. You're wrong. No. You know, and then what we do is we find ourselves like a bunch of kids squabbling back and forth. But when the real problem was we weren't being humble. But it says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what God wants us to do? When we humble ourselves, and sometimes taking that advice is a little hard to swallow. You know what we need to do? We just need to give it over to the Lord. We need to just, the Bible says casting, throwing, giving it all to Him. You know, I know probably from time to time I say things that might bother people. But you know what you ought to do? You know what the Bible says you do about that? Casting all your cares upon the Lord, or casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Now the next verse here gives us a warning. In verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, I kind of looked at that verse and I was thinking, okay, I got a general idea about what that verse is talking about. But I took the time to look up some of the words to find out what they mean. It starts out by saying, be sober. Now, that's not talking about drinking, being sober. What that's talking about is being regular, calm, not under the influence of passion. You know what that's saying? Don't let your feelings get out of control. Be sober. Think in your mind. Stop and take a few minutes to consider what's being said to you. Don't jump to conclusion. You know, and basically what that's saying is in your mind and in your life, be level-minded. Don't automatically take what someone says to you as criticism. Now you say, well, that's what they meant. You know, that's how they meant it. Well, I do understand there are some, that's the way they are. But you know, I was always taught this, in every lie, there's a grain of truth. And you know what being sober means? You look for the grain of truth. Even though all of it, even though the most of it may not be true, what you do is you look for that grain of truth. And so it says, be sober. And then it says, be vigilant. You know what that means? And the only time we really kind of practice this is when we're about ready to do something we shouldn't do. It says, be vigilant, watching circumspectly, attentive to the direct to discover and avoid danger, and to prove to provide for safety. You know what that means? Check it out from all angles. It says, be vigilant. Look to the left, look to the right, look straight, look behind you. Make sure that you check it all out from all directions, that you consider it in every which way. You see, that's really important, because when we do that, what we do is we make the right decisions. Because what we've done is we've checked things out. So he says here, be sober, be vigilant. Then he gives the reason why. Because your adversary, the devil. If you're saved and born again and you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an adversary. Amen. And it's the devil. And he don't like you. He hates you. He ain't never going to like you. He's never going to be your friend. He's never going to be your partner. He's never going to be honest with you. That's why we need to be sober. We need to be level-headed. That's why we need to be vigilant. We need to check it out from one end to the other and backwards and forwards. Because the devil will never come to you in a red outfit with a pointy tail and a pitchfork and steam coming out his nose and his ears. He's going to come to you as an angel of light. He's going to come to you. He's going to deceive you. And so what we need to do is we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Because our enemy is going to come to us hidden. They're going to come to us as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Many times, if we're not careful, our enemy gets right upon us and we don't even realize that they're there. And so the Word of God, and what Peter is trying to get across to the people here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your enemy, God, the devil will never be your friend. You know, you say, well, you know, I go some places, and you know, and they're not all Christians, and you know, but they're my good friends. They have my best interest in mind. No, they don't. No, they don't. Because you see, the adversary, the devil, what he's got in mind is to deceive you. What he's got in mind is to steer you wrong, to lead you in the wrong direction. He will never lead you right. His motive is always, as the Bible says, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, when your friends are the wrong people, when your friends are not Christians as they should be, the devil, your adversary, is going to use that to lead you in the wrong direction. You know why you need to have good friends? You know why you need to have a friend that's going to look you in the eye and say, hey, brother, I notice you're kind of slipping a little bit. I notice you've not been here to church lately. I notice there's some things in your life that's not good. You know why you need that friend? Because what the devil's making you think is, well, man, I've really worked hard this week, and I sure could use the day off, and the only opportunity I got is Sunday, so I won't go to church today. I'll just stay here and I'll rest at home. You know what that is? Your adversary, the devil. Your adversary, the devil. And you know what he's doing? He's seeking whom he may devour. You know what that means? He's looking for that little crack, that little opening, that little space where he can come in. And you don't even realize he's there, and the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. The devil's plans for you is to devour you, chew you up, spit you out, and throw you on the ground, and embarrass you to death, and rob God. And if you think he's up to anything else, you know what, let me tell you? You're very fooled. Because the devil has no other plans other than that. You know why we need the elders to exhort and teach the younger? Because we've been down a road. We've made some mistakes. We've done some things that we shouldn't do. And most of us didn't do it openly, meanfully. Most of us, what we did, we were just going along. We didn't mean any harm. We thought, well, you know, just this little bit of compromise, it'll be okay. You know, just this week, I'll miss just this week. Well, next week comes and it hasn't changed. I'll just want one more week, and so on and so forth. And before you know it, you're in the gutter. And you're doing all the wrong things. And the devil's on the sideline laughing it up. Because his intent for you was to make God look bad. He has no other goal for a Christian than that. You see, because he can't take you. He can't have you. If you're born again, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he can't have you. No matter what happens, yeah, you're going to go to heaven. But you know what? He can use a Christian to embarrass God. So Peter here, he warns, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called unto us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. To him be the glory and dominion. Let me get my glasses on here. Dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, we can either let the devil have control of our life, and his goal for you is to destroy you, to devour you up, to chew you up, and to spit you out. Or what you can do is follow God. You can follow God's grace. My dad told me one time, he said, "Son, you've not failed until you stop getting up." He said, no matter how many times the devil knocks you down, learn from it, stay away from it, and get back up and keep following God. Because you've not failed until you don't get back up. And I want to encourage you, church. I want to see the next generation come up. If the Lord should tarry his coming in 50 years from now, when our church is 102 years old, I want to still see it here existing as Faith Independent Baptist Church, King James Bible only, with singing conservative music and following the Lord and going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know how that'll get accomplished? Is when we, the elders of the church, those who know better, teach and guide and direct the younger. And church, I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you to be ready, be prepared for what God has for our church. God has some great things, and we're going to see some great things come about this this fall when we get our bus route started and we see kids start coming in here. There's going to be times we're going to be tired. There's going to be times when we're wore out. There's going to be some times when we think, man, I really just don't want to do this. But if we will, we'll see some young men, we'll see some young ladies grow up and be good moms and dads and be Christian workers and servants all around the world. But we got to watch out for the devil. Got to watch out. He's slick, he's slippery, he's a lot smarter than any of us. And we stay close to the Word of God and the things of God, we'll avoid a lot of hassle, and our children will avoid a lot of hassle. Let's pray. Father in heaven, just thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, you've given me here at Faith Independent Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for the folks you've brought our way. Lord, I thank you for our visitors. Lord, I thank you for our members. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, as a church to stand up, to speak out, and Lord, proclaim the Word of God. And Lord, we need to have more children in our church. We need to be raising up that next generation, Lord, to carry on the gospel message. And Father, we'll just love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.